This is AC Primetime Radio.
It's not over yet. And in some ways, the Margate Beach and Dune fun has just begun. Will a new outfall beach drainage project affect the summer of 2018? Coming up, we're going to talk to longtime Margate resident and dune guru, Glenn Klotz.
It's not going to be quick, and it's not going to be easy. It's a major, major construction project.
We're going to dig into that deal with the devil. You know, the Margate commissioners reluctantly signed it on October 19th. They approved another beach and dune construction project on this part of Absecon Island. Marvelous Margate. This is AC Primetime Radio. My name is Mel Taylor, and this episode of the AC Primetime Radio podcast is sponsored by Apex Prime Realty, setting a new standard for commercial and residential real estate right here along the South Jersey Shore, especially here in Margate, Ventnor, Longport, and Atlantic City. Reach out to Sherry Lilienfeld. She's so lovely. Visit apexprime.com. All right, the New Jersey DEP, the Department of Environmental Piracy, Protection, and the Army Corps of Engineers. They're soon going to be ripping up the beaches again, the entire length of Margate's beaches, to install this full-blown network of outfall drainage pipes. About six of them all throughout Margate. Going to be kind of messy. I'm going to play back an interview with Glenn Klotz. He's from Margate. He knows about this stuff like the back of his hand. He might be the best person to provide some analysis of this, what I think is a dastardly dune deal. You know, the Army Corps, sure, they're paying 100% of the cost. That's really the federal taxpayers. But Margate's going to be taking responsibility for the maintenance and the upkeep of this dune and beach drainage system moving forward. As a deal sweetener, the deal with the devil says that Margate's not going to be forced to get regular renourishments every few years of pumping sand on the beach. But how devious. When you put a dune right down the middle of the beach, that cuts the beach in half. And when erosion occurs, it chews up the front beach, you know, the good part of the beach, the usable part of the beach. Margate is likely to need renourishment in the very near future. Did Margate leadership do everything possible to defend the rights of local Margatians? I'm also going to ask Glenn, does the Army Corps of Engineers get paid based on the cubic feet of sand pumped? Really? Not on the effectiveness of the project? Like the safety? Is there a warranty?
It's time to reimagine, redevelop, reinvest. This is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor.
Covering the news of Atlantic City, Margate, Ventnor, Longport, and even Brigantine. Now let's talk to longtime Margate resident and anti-dune guy, Glenn Klotz. That's Glenn with two N's. He's been tracking this dune boggle for a long time. He's been fighting the good fight since way back when.
They create a problem. Then they solve it with more of our taxpayer money. I mean, yeah, that pisses me off. You know, you guys come here. We don't have any drainage problem. We don't even have any protection problem. We don't have any problem. In fact, we've asked you not to come here, not spend the $65 million of federal tax money. I mean, the whole thing pisses me off for something that's unnecessary. We don't want. We don't need. We voted twice to tell you don't come here. But from the governor on down to our federal representative, to all of them, the politicians basically flipped us a bird and said, we don't really care what you want.
The DEP and Margate agreed to utilize their best efforts to try to persuade the Army Corps not to disrupt the 2018 summer season, which is understood to be commencing May 25, 2018, and ending September 4, 2018. Such disruption to be determined by Margate, depending on the drainage project's construction progress. Your thoughts?
I mean, basically what that says is that the Army has not given the city or the state any concrete signatured thing that they'll be done with the drainage on a particular day. They don't want to be held to a time. So the state and agrees with Margate basically that, you know, nobody wants to disrupt next year's summer building this system and having them down there all summer, you know, with their tractors. And because it's a major construction project putting in a new stormwater system, you know, it's every street end in Margate is going to have to be at one point ripped up. I don't know, exactly how they intend to tie the street end drains. They could be doing it from the scuppers. They could be putting in actual, stormwater drains like you have in the rest of the streets, with a grate. And then the water drains down that and then into the system. I don't really know how they intend to do it, okay? I did speak to Ed Wahlberg, the city engineer, but he didn't really tell me that, how the connectors are going to work and how they're designed. So it, theoretically, if they do it that way with grates, yeah, then they have to chop a hole in the street. They have to put a connector pipe in and connect it under the or through the bulkhead to the pipe that's on along the bulkhead on the beach side.
This is New Jersey State Senator Colin Bell, and you're listening to AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor.
So at this point in time, October 24, 2017, we do not know how exactly the street runoff will feed into the pipes and manifold system, and it might not even be designed yet. Is that correct?
I mean, I've heard different things. I've heard that they're going to do it through the scuppers, and then I've heard that there some places they're going to use street grates. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
I really don't know, Mel. And the person really to talk to about that is the city engineer, Ed Wahlberg, because he'll be the one, his company, I'm assuming, will be contracted to do that. Maybe. I don't know who will get that contract, but the city will have to get, someone will have to design those connectors. And it might have to be that they're connected, each one is an individual from one street to the next. So it might be 60 different applications. You know what I mean? It's not straightforward by any means.
Unfiltered and undeniable. AC Primetime Radio.
You're reading it with much more educated eyes, but when I read this, it seems that the city will do X, but at the end of the day, it still has to pass muster with the Fed and the state DEP.
Oh, it has to pass muster with more than that. From my understanding, the whole system has to pass muster with a whole slew of coastal agencies. So, I mean, you're doing a major, this is a major change. I don't think there has been a major stormwater drainage system built in a city in New Jersey along the ocean in a long time. I could be wrong. You could ask the DEP, but I haven't heard of any citywide. I mean, there might be instances where somebody put in a drainage for a street or a project, you know what I mean? And then and put in one outfall. But an entire city? No, I don't. I got me. It's not going to be quick, and it's not going to be easy. It's a major, major construction project. It has to be engineered. The outfalls themselves have to be engineered. And, it's a gravity system. There's not going to be any power in this system to get that water out to the ocean now. So, it has to be designed so that everything will flow into the system and out to the ocean. Now, it's not, they've been designing systems like this since the Romans. So I don't think, I think they'll be able to do it. I'm not worried about that. But it is, it is a big project. I mean, even the one that they built at Jackson Avenue about 6 or 7 years ago, I watched them build that. And that was a major project. Just building that, it took them months to build that. That's the newest outfall that anybody knows of in the area. And it's about, I think it's 4 or 5 or 6 years old. Given what it is and what it does, that's probably pretty close. And I think the Army built it. That's a pretty good match to what Margate will be seeing on its beaches.
This is AC Primetime Radio, sponsored by Apex Prime Realty, setting a new standard for commercial and residential real estate along the South Jersey Shore, especially here in Margate, Ventnor, Longport, and Atlantic City. Reach out to Sherry Lilienfeld. Just visit apexprime.com. All right, we are talking dunes and wasteful beach widening in the Army Corps of Engineers with Glenn Klotz. You might know him from Margate Citizens Questioning the Dune Project. Now, here's the next statement for your analysis. Due to natural forces and or changing conditions, there is no guarantee that the beach fill will persist or maintain its engineering integrity and effectiveness post construction. That's like somebody coming into your house, building you a kitchen, but once you pay them, they're no longer liable for when the kitchen breaks down 5 minutes after they leave.
Yeah, that's basically, it gives them their out. It's like the negative insurance, you know? Well, you bought this thing, but, you know, it could just fall apart in 5 minutes. Don't come to us. We're not going to warrant our work. Yeah, that's basically what it sounds like. You know, this is a system subject to the forces of nature. We can't warrant what the ocean and the wind and, you know, what the gods are going to do to this thing. And therefore, you know, good luck. We'll be back in 3 years to maybe pump more sand. But
how about
you're on your own.
How about the gall, the audacity of the people who wrote this? Margate's pre-existing stormwater system, which caused problems with beach ponding, prior to the project that had to be remediated through trenching to the Atlantic Ocean, would not be feasible after the construction of the project. Your thoughts, Glenn Klotz?
Well, yeah, it's not feasible anymore for obvious reasons. If they build a 10-foot high mound of sand in front of it, so there was no way to trench any longer to the ocean. You couldn't get to the ocean. Yeah, they did that. We didn't ask them to. Okay, so saying that, you know, we had a problem before and we had to use a bulldozer here and there to trench, so what? That took all of 2 seconds to do. We had a permit from the DEP to do it for 50 years. It's just them trying to put the blame off on us for something they did.
AC Primetime Radio.
So they put the dune right down the middle of the beach. They explain, well, we need a drainage pit in between the bulkhead and the dune. And then, of course, when they realized that didn't work, they put in the outfall. But there has to be another devious couple of reasons why they still are building a dune down the middle of the beach. Glenn Klotz?
Right. Yeah, there is. It's not really devious. We did ask. John Amadeo, Commissioner in Margate, asked them after I posed the question on the record in two city meetings, why are they building this thing down the middle of the beach? And he went and asked them, why are you building this down the middle of the beach? And they said, oh, well, the reason for that is we make our money from the cubic feet of sand that we pump from the dredge. So if we push the berm part, or the template back towards the bulkhead, we would be using mostly the city's existing dry beach, and we wouldn't have to put that much sand, so we wouldn't get our money. So by pushing it towards the ocean, and now, you know, putting 200 foot of dry sand in front of it, all of that has to be pumped from the dredge, and we get our money.
Was that actually on the record, or was that just a recollection that Mr. Amadeo shared?
No, that's what they told. That's basically from Mr. Amadeo to me. That's what he said that the Army told him. But basically, that's how they earn a big chunk of their money, is from the dredging and pumping of the sand, and therefore it serves their purpose to put the template as close to the ocean and then add sand in front of it. Now, it's asked backwards from our point of view, but, you know, this is all about the money. If it's all just about the money, then it makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, that's what this project is all about. So if you keep that dune down the middle of the beach, and over time, erosion and high tides, they put the squeeze on the usable beach. And even though they said, hey, Margate, you're not forced to get renourishment, it looks like, through this dune being in the middle of the beach and the front beach being eroded over time, it sounds like somewhere in the future, Margate is going to come and get down on our knees and beg for renourishment.
Correct. Yeah, that's basically how it works. Yeah, well, that's what the Army does. They create problems and then they solve them.
The new alternative media is becoming the dominant media.
Reimagine, reinvent, reinvest. ACPrimetime.com.
Did the people on our side really do as much as they could to fight and negotiate and push back? Or was it that just got put in a corner and they got squeezed? And when you're up against a guy like Governor Chris Christie, it's really difficult.
What do you mean, at the end of this?
Well, maybe throughout the past couple of years and then toward the end.
Well, that's a pretty complicated story of who's on first as far as who fought this. I gave you the beginning of the story. I was on board from the beginning in Dune, and then later formed MCQBP with a few other people, Dan Gottlieb was also a member of Dune. So Dan and I were there at the beginning. So was Scott Abbott, who was then at the beginning of this, was on the other side as the city solicitor of Ventnor. Scott's been on both sides of this and in between. Well, he's really kind of going to be the big winner out of this at the end. But another story.
Why is, okay, well, you said it, but would you like to share a little bit why Scott Abbott would be not that upset with this deal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scott's basically played both sides because when he was city solicitor of Ventnor, okay, he was very much for the project because the mayor was very much and the city commission was. And, you know, they said they needed it to protect the boardwalk. So we had a referendum in Ventnor. Scott and the mayor ran the referendum and they won. They won the referendum.
And the mayor was Mr. Kreischer at that time.
Correct. Okay, so there's Scott, 2001 to 2000, and I forget when the city government there changed hands. I think it was 2009. He's on the other side, very much for the project. Good friends with Stuart Farrell.
Who is?
Stuart Farrell, Professor Farrell out at Stockton, is the Army Corps and the DEP's scientific guy. They're down here at Stockton at the Coastal Institute is the big promoter of these projects up and down the coast.
So he would be able to dig up. He would be able to dig up data that supports we need a dune.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, you know, Stuart went around giving speeches all over saying we need this to each community and was a big advocate, you know, all the way through the Margate part. You can find his statements all over the press. And, you know, Scott was his friend, still is his friend, okay? That's okay. You know, he is a coastal geologist, you know, and one of the experts in the field. So, you know, then he became the solicitor in Margate. And I have reason to believe that, you know, at the beginning of this whole thing, he was really not on either side. Basically just played solicitor. But say, you know, did his mind change that much? I mean, he comes from Ventnor, where he's a big proponent of it. He becomes a solicitor in Margate. Okay. Brenda Taube, who's a big friend of Frank Lobiondo, then he helps get on the commission. So what's it look like to you? Does it look like these guys are going to be against the project when the opportunity comes? So they don't do anything, but they, you know, Brenda complains about every time we have a storm, oh, there's sand in the street. Okay. And, you know, I'm watching that saying, oh boy, here it goes. You know, we got Scott now, we got Brenda there, friend of Lobiondo. They're just waiting for all we need is a good event, a good storm. And these guys are going to come down on top of us like a ton of bricks. And that's exactly what happened. It was predictable. Now, Mr. Abbott, all of a sudden, the mayor wants to have a referendum about the project. He doesn't go ahead, to his credit, doesn't go right ahead and join the project. He could have right after Sandy. He doesn't. He goes, says, no, I'm going to put this up to the voters. Okay, Scott gets to write the whole thing, you know, for the referendum the way he wants it written. We beat the crap out of them. They're not happy about it. Scott's definitely not on our side in this whole thing. And then I meet him one day out and he congratulates me and then says, of course, you know, we're never going to defend this in court. We'll never spend a dime, Glenn. And I said, so, you know, I guess you're still on the other side. He doesn't say anything to me, but, you know, what do you surmise? We win. We tell the commission we don't want to join. And then he says, well, we're not going to put a dime up as long as I'm there to defend this. Okay, so then I go back to my group and say, we're going to have another referendum. And they go, what? No, come on. We won 65 to 35. They won't, but they do. This time we only win by a point. Okay, it's about money, about defending, and Scott's on the other side again with the mayor. Now says, oh, he's so against it all. He wasn't against it. Now, was he a big proponent of it? No. Wasn't a big proponent. He wasn't either way. He wasn't hot or cold about it. But when it came time, yeah, he basically was for it. And so was Scott. No matter what they say, what they tell you. Now, at the end, of course, we're all on the same team.
Sun,
fun, news and info. From Atlantic City, this is AC Primetime Radio with Mel Taylor. Find us online at acprimetime.com.
Glenn, there's an analogy here. When we all got together, hundreds of us down on the beach this past summer saying, no, we don't want the dunes, there was plenty of examples of people pushing back saying, we don't want the dunes. Many of them are residents and taxpayers and those with a financial stake in Margate the way it is. For some reason, why wasn't there the other side, a whole bunch of people protesting saying, we need dunes, we need protection? The only people doing that was a small handful, whether it was Mr. Lobiondo or Brenda Taube, or it was Lance Landgraf from Ventnor. And they all used those same talking points, saving lives, saving properties, and all that sand that came over. Did you see all that sand in the street?
Yeah, well, the saving lives thing is a canard because nobody's in recent time been killed by a hurricane or a nor'easter. You know, these projects are not providing any real, if anything, I can make the case they do the opposite, that they actually put more people at risk, because when you build something like this, people assume that they're safe and they stay. They don't leave. You know, the governor says, get out. There's a major hurricane and they stay. Now, I stayed because I don't care. And I live five blocks back. So, and I'll go, if I think I'm in danger, I'll go up in a casino garage, seven stories up. I'm not worried about anything, right? So, you know, most people, though, should leave. And if you put a berm down there, you put a wall of sand down there, they're going to think, oh, well, the ocean can't get to me. I'm safe. Wrong. So, you know, I can make the opposite argument that the project template actually increases risk of loss of life. That said, let's move to the other points. Does it stop water from going into the streets? Yeah, up to a Category 1 hurricane like Sandy, I think it's fair to say, yeah. But even in a Category 1, if you're on the northeast quadrant and you have a big storm surge, probably not. Okay, I talked to a reporter this morning from the Bergen something newspaper up there, and he asked me that very question. And I said, well, yeah, if the storm had hit in Cape May, would the berm have the system north of its work? No. Wouldn't have worked. The ocean would have come right over it, just like happened up the coast 50 miles. Would have smashed right through it and put it all on the boardwalk and into the homes. There would have been massive damage along the beach, in Margate, in Ventnor, in Longport, and in Atlantic City. And the hell with their so-called dune. That would have just been part of the debris stream. Just sand. Okay, so, yeah, so, and some fence posts. So all of that mass in the wind would have just been much more destructive. And there's examples of that exactly happening in major hurricanes down in Florida and along the Gulf Coast, where there were army systems and they were just completely taken apart by huge storm surges and wind. Okay, so, you know, that this actually protects, yeah, it protects in minor, that's the army, they'll tell you. Anything underneath the Category 1, you know, a minor coastal nor'easter does fine. Yeah, but then you don't need it for that. The bulk had worked great. It's just about the money, man. It's not about protecting anything. In a real storm, you get a Category 2 hurricane or 3, that thing will last all of about 15 minutes, if that.
AC Primetime Radio, sponsored by Lacey Cleaning, the best in carpet cleaning, construction site cleanup, and rental turnovers. Go to LaceyCleaning.com. And AC Primetime Radio is powered by Get Smart Digital, the fastest growing, most sexy digital marketing company along the Jersey Shore. Need a kick-ass website? Hit them up. GetSmartDigital.com.